from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to the Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll find out what's going on new at Owl Studios.
I'll take a look at what the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel is up to this summer.
And I'll get a preview of a Colombian dance concert coming here. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call...
What'll we do?
All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. If the name Owl Studios sounds familiar, you're probably either a jazz fan or a regular listener to the Art of the Matter. The music we use at the beginning and end of our show, as well as during our What'll We Do calendar segment, is from Owl Recordings. But Owl is expanding from jazz, and its original owner, Al Hall, Owl, get it? Well, he sold it a couple years ago to a local drummer and educator, Kenny Phelps. Sharon Gamble invited Kenny in to talk about his vision for Owl, and he was joined by keyboardist Steve Ali, who's having a re-release party for his CD, Colors, which is on the Owl Studios label.
So, Kenny, tell me about your role at Owl Studios.
I am now the new owner of Owl Studios, and we're just putting together some new things, headed in a different direction. Owl Hall and his team really put a great foundation together with some really wonderful artists and some really great albums as well, and mm-hmm. we've kind of expanded on that by getting our artists into the community, but also getting them into new audiences as well. We've done some gospel jazz experiences, and we're bringing different styles of music together, so that that way the artist becomes new in the community as well.
Oh, that's cool. And Owl Studios was founded, has it been like 10 years, something like
that?
At
least 8 years.
Yeah.
I know for sure.
Yeah, a solid basis. And, of course, our regular listeners say, wait, Owl Studios is where you get that music you use for your program. So you've been primarily a performer and a teacher yourself.
Primarily a performer.
Yeah.
I've taught a little bit, but very busy. I can't teach on a regular basis, but have been traveling.
Because you're too busy playing. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So, taking on ownership of a studio, new role.
Yes, ma'am.
You sound a little, tentative about it.
No. It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
It's something new. It's something different. And I've worked with a lot of the artists for such a long time in the role of performing with them. Now,
sure.
It's on the other side, being able to promote and try to get the music a little more presence in our own community. I wanted to have Owl to have a brand. I think a lot of times we focus on the particular artists, but we want the Owl label to have a brand itself that's just a producer of great music. So whatever comes out of Owl, we want people to know that this is great music. So, and we're working with great artists as well, Steve Ali, Cynthia Lane, and some others who've definitely built a strong presence in this community as well. Now we're just trying to take it in a different direction, get them exposed in some other audiences, get them in their community, and things like that.
But still, the primary focus is going to be jazz?
No, not the primary focus. We're
okay.
going to expand it a lot. We're going to add
wow.
some rock. We're going to add some gospel.
Wow.
We're going to add some hip-hop. They had some hip-hop stuff on there before, but
right.
we need to expand the label to a wider audience.
Sure.
Because that way, our audience get exposed to new audiences as
right.
well. And that was the primary goal when we took over the label.
So you've got the solid reputation there, kind of like back in the day you knew you could go to it's a Verve recording, I trust. I don't know this artist, but if Verve put it out, you know, I know it's going to be good. I can risk my money on it. And Owl has that reputation built up already, so you get to expand on that.
Exactly. Almost like the Motown. Motown itself has a brand without even saying one artist's name. You
yeah.
know, the product that has come out of there is always high quality.
Do you think you'll stay, at least for the near future, focused on Indy or Indianapolis or maybe Indiana artists, or you want to extend
that
reach too?
That's the main focus.
Yeah.
Giving the local artists a national presence, being able to travel around the world with Dede Bridgewater. I was able to see a lot of the great talent that we look up to, but it's no different or greater than any of the talent that we have here.
Sure.
And I think when Al started the label, he started it with the locals. And he wanted to give them a greater presence. And by having the distribution network, it was able to do that. And as it got a little bigger, then more of the national talent came in. And I think the local kind of got pushed to the back.
Sure.
And so we want to reverse that. I just want to be able to put a lot of energy and time into our local artists that play around here all the time. And I don't think they should only get a spotlight as an opening artist for a national act.
I think
they need to be presented that way all the time. They have the quality in their music, and they support the music community all year round. So why not now give them what's due them?
The sound you heard was all those local artists standing up and saluting you over the radio, including Steve Ali. So you have made a career in Indianapolis as a jazz artist. And tell me about your experiences with Owl Studios and your current relationship to Owl.
I met Owl. Al Hall.
It's confusing because it's not in print.
I believe that I was one of the first artists. I was among one of the first artists to join the Owl Studios label. I really believed in his dedication to promoting artists that were from Indianapolis, and I really respected that idea and wanted to help him get a good foothold. And so my album Colors was one of the first albums released, and right after that, Dragonfly mm-hmm. was released. And at the same time, I let him license several other of my albums, New York in the 50s, the soundtrack for the documentary film, and a couple of others that I was very happy to have him put on his label. Fast forward a few years now, I felt that maybe, the first album, being one of the first albums, didn't get the full five-star send-off that I had hoped that it might receive. And so we're kind of plugging a few holes, and making sure that this release of Colors gets its, the full national due that Kenny and his company is offering.
And I want to hear more about this as a musician who maybe isn't eager to deal with the business side, but has to deal with the business side of, okay, I've got an album, now I got to work with a recording studio. What has been, prior to your dealings with Owl, the hardest, that's Owl, the name of the studio, not Al Hall, the hardest thing in dealing with a company?
Probably a label that was willing to give you the individual attention so that you received a national distribution.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in place when my album came out originally. But he worked very hard in order to get that together. Now Kenny has the Allegro distribution, national distribution in place. And we're sending it out to, several hundred radio stations that are dedicated to play jazz on their stations, I've got a lot of interest in interviews, from different stations. The first time around, I would call them, and we did interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And we even, there were some performances around that we did that were fun. And so this time around, I guess that was the biggest challenge, was to get a label that was interested in giving you the time to give you proper national distribution.
Yeah, because support.
Because I have my own recording studio in Brown County called Jazzville, is where I recorded those albums. So I'm very fortunate to have means to record those albums, and have done. We did Cynthia Lane's first album there. Frank Smith was on the Owl label. Even the Rufus Reed Trio's Out Front on Motema label was recorded at my place. So we've taken that and kind of developed that. And
sure.
So I think it's a good partnership. Mm-hmm. Kenny has In the same breath of having his business, is very energetic towards giving back to the community, mm-hmm. to this community. And I've seen that in him as a performer for all these years. He's done was taking it to the streets, giving back, going into schools, you know, helping underprivileged children, you know, and, you know, being a mentor for them, you know. And he's doing the same thing with his label now. As a not-for-profit organization, and with regard to my current CD release, Colors, we have partnered with Wheeler Mission, and so that proceeds from our the album, our performance at the Jazz Kitchen on the 21st in a week from Saturday at the Jazz Kitchen, will end, and all subsequent. CD sales proceeds will go to the Wheeler's Mission program.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So how does it work to have a not-for-profit recording company? How does that work?
Well, actually, taking it to the streets is the not-for-profit.
Oh, got
that
it.
We have.
That's the right. The banner for that.
So
got it.
The arch over.
Got
and
it.
Under that, we created OWL Studios as a program.
Okay. That's so, really smart.
Well, I can't take the credit for that. There's some other people that are really helping me, Bill Mallers, and some other people who are in the company who are really strategically putting those things together. But when that opportunity came up, that was the first thing we thought about, was how can we do something a little different that really brings more benefit to the community, not just from CD sales or for performances, but what can we do different? I think anytime that you have opportunity, it's also coupled with responsibility. How you use that is very, very important. And so with Steve, you know, all the artists, what we try to do is connect them to a cause. And as he said, we connect it to Wheeler Mission. That could be any one of us in any given time.
Absolutely.
And so what we try to do, any ticketed event that we do or concert that we do, we try to offset that with doing a concert for people who can't afford to go to the Jazz Kitchen or can't afford to come to a Clues Hall to see the performers. So we went to Wheeler Mission and did a concert for them at dinner hour. And found out what their needs were, and they needed bottled water for the men during the summer. They get dehydrated. So Steve talked and thought that would be a great idea, you know, and that was something that was dear to his heart when we spoke and talked about re-releasing Colors as well. And Wheeler seemed to be a really, really good match for that, that we could help out in that kind of way. So people could come to the concert, could purchase a CD. A portion of that CD sales goes to getting bottled water for those men.
Love it. Let's go back for a minute to pairing, to kind of pushing the boundaries out beyond jazz, or maybe pairing jazz and other music forms. The thing that always strikes me about watching any kind of educational performance or workshop is kids haven't put music in boxes yet, so they don't know if it's jazz or hip-hop or, you know, it might be Latin, it might be, and they don't know. They just know they like it, they have a feeling for it, they move to it. Is that a trend in the way grown-ups are listening to? Are you finding people you encounter who go, "Well, I didn't know I liked hip hop until I came to this show," or I didn't know what that was called, but I like it.
I think so. I think sometimes we have to be told what we're listening to. If you just take the parameters off, the titles off, and you put a piece of music in front of somebody, if they start tapping their foot, you know, to it, they may not know that's jazz, but you know, if you ask people, what kind of music you listen to? I like all kinds of music, you know, and you start naming titles. No, I don't like country. I don't like, you know. So it depends on how you've grown up to and what your influence is to music now. It's so different. And a lot of the music now that you hear, it's all mixed up anyway. You know, jazz is a combination of different influences, just like gospel and everything else. There's no one really particular style that I can see, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's just that's its own thing and it has no influence from anything else,
right.
You know. So to me, learning, growing up in gospel, playing that, and then meeting Steve and playing jazz, I could see some of the similarities. But, you know, it all influences each other, you know. And I think for the younger generation, that's what we want to be able to get to them to come out and be able to appreciate some of the Duke Ellington and some of the older, you know, styles of music that they grew up in school. When I listened to cartoons, you know, when I was a kid, that was all big band music. And I never knew it.
Sure.
Until I went and heard Steve Ali's big band, and I was in my 20s, And that's the first thing I told him. I said, man, that music you played tonight was the music I listened to on cartoons. You know, and but that's the only way I could relate it.
And
to
that's
that style
fine.
Of music.
And
exactly.
It's absolutely fine.
So kids, you know, when I was a kid, that's what we grew up listening to, Mr. Rogers. And it was jazz. You know, I just liked the way it sounded. I didn't know it was jazz, you know, but when I got out to start playing that type of music, all those things came back later. It's like, man, I've heard this stuff before. This is great stuff, you know. So,
interestingly, Kenny, just an Owl Music Group, just hosted a jam session several weeks ago at their studios, and 82 kids showed up.
Whoa.
And a lot of area professional musicians. And there was a room for rock, a room for gospel, and a stage for jazz. And Kenny made the announcement at the beginning. He said, if you're a jazz musician, don't start out in the jazz room. Go to the rock room or the gospel room. So he encouraged them to try to jump in the other styles and to meet people in those styles and introduce themselves. So, that is something that the Owl Music Group is extending as well, helping the local area musicians.
Sharon Gamble with pianist Steve Ali and percussionist educator Kenny Phelps. Learn more about Owl Studios at owlstudios.com. That's owlstudios.com. And get tickets and details for Steve Ali's Colors CD release at thejazzkitchen.com. Steve's concert is this Saturday night at 7 and 9:30 at the Jazz Kitchen. And this is his music we're hearing.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. This weekend, you can experience history in the making at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel as artists Johnny Mathis, Linda Ronstadt, Nat King Cole, and Shirley Jones are inducted into the Songbook Hall of Fame. The evening's host, Michael Feinstein, will be joined by special guests, including Jessica Sanchez from American Idol. Travis DiNicola spoke with the Center's John Huey to find out more.
John, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, and congratulations on yet another Songbook Hall of Fame celebration. This is how many now?
We're up to three.
Three.
This is our third annual.
This is pretty cool. So a great celebration of some really, really amazing talent this year, including Nat King Cole, Linda Ronstadt, Shirley Jones, Johnny Mathis. This is all sort of a very cool project of the Center and of Michael Feinstein. Tell me exactly what the Songbook Hall of Fame is, though.
Sure. We wanted to keep the music alive in terms of Broadway musicals, the Tin Pan Alley, the golden age of American music, which we really define as the early 20th century through to about 1960s. And Michael Feinstein, our artistic director, is the ambassador of the Great American Songbook.
Yes, he is.
And so he has a vision to create a Hall of Fame that rivals the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we have a performance on Saturday night tonight that is very similar to the Kennedy Center Honors, where we honor the inductees with performances and people get to know them a little better.
This is a very cool program. And Feinstein, I mean, he's an amazing performer and performs a lot of that music of the Great American Song. But I know he also is a personal collector of items and artifacts and old records and sheet music and all things like that he's been collecting. And really has approached this from so many different ways. And creating this Songbook Hall of Fame is just a really another neat way to celebrate it.
It is. And the Palladium in Carmel, our gallery level, we have a gallery. Mm-hmm. It is the Songbook exhibit. And right now we have the Broadway musicals of the 1960s. And within that collection, we have Meredith Willson's papers, and he is the composer of The Music Man.
Yeah.
And if we connect these dots, that takes us to Shirley Jones, who we're honoring tonight.
That's very cool. That's very cool. So so again, the people who are being honored, Nat King Cole, Linda Ronstadt, Shirley Jones, Johnny Mathis. So their music is going to be performed that evening. Of course, Michael Feinstein will be performing, but you've got some other very special performers that are going to be part of this event on Saturday night.
We do. Much like the Kennedy Center Honors, we have young performers come in and pay tribute to the honorees. And we have an American Idol, Jessica Sanchez, that's going to be with us. And we have a Broadway star, Laura Osnes. and Peter Sincotti, a pianist who I believe has been in town before with the ISO, mm-hmm. and then a vocalist, he's a Canadian, who does an amazing tribute to Nat King Cole, Denzel Sinclair.
Very cool. And now, you also have, I believe, one of the younger competitors from the past. Is that right?
We do. In conjunction with the Songbook Hall of Fame, we have a national vocal competition.
Yeah.
And she's a young high school student from Baldwinsville, New York. Her name's okay. Julia Goodwin. And she's going to be here with us again. She performed the national anthem at the Colts game back in December. And she also debuted on Broadway with Michael Feinstein at Birdland.
That's very cool. And that's great. That's a nice connection, too, to keep the tradition going. Now, any of the inductees into the Hall of Fame, will they be able to attend?
Yes. The Saturday evening, it's a two-night weekend. Mm-hmm. For Friday is a dinner at the Indiana Roof Ballroom. And then the Saturday evening portion is the performance at the Palladium. And Johnny Mathis will be with us, and Shirley Jones will be with us. And
nice.
Natalie Cole will be here to accept on her father's behalf.
That's great.
Linda Ronstadt, unfortunately, her health is mm-hmm. Not the best right now, so she won't be able to join us.
That's really cool, though, that they get to be a part of it and to be represented there as well. It must be really exciting for them, I'm sure.
It is, and they give last year we honored Rita Moreno, and mm-hmm. her speech is still part of our everyday work life. I mean, she was so inspiring to hear her, and she was so honored. And, you know, you think of these folks that are given awards frequently for mm-hmm. their outstanding accomplishments, but they are just truly honored to be recognized for their contributions to the songbook.
And this is a black tie affair, it's a big gala,
sure.
of course.
Well, the Friday evening portion mm-hmm. is black tie, but mm-hmm. for the performance, we're going to be a little more casual, and it's mm-hmm. going to be a cocktail attire.
Okay.
And after the entire ceremony, the induction ceremony performance, we're going to turn the Palladium into a nightclub, and we're going to have actually five different nightclubs. So there's
cool.
going to be different styles of music in all of our extra space.
Well, you have those different levels and different spaces, sort of different lobby areas. So each one will be kind of a different themed area?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have salsa dancing. And if you don't know how to dance the salsa, we're going to teach you. So we have instructors on hand, and we're going to have stilt walkers, and it's going to be quite the spectacle.
Now, I believe there are still some tickets available to attend the Saturday night performance, correct?
We do. The Saturday performance this is our annual fundraiser
yeah,
as well.
Right.
So tickets are $200, mm-hmm. and it goes to support our mission, which is to engage, inspire, and welcome.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. And, of course, people can get more information at thecenterpresents.org or give the box office a call if they still want to try to get in on this for a big event on a Saturday night. You know, maybe someone missed Father's Day and needs to make up for that or whatever, right? I don't know. You know, it sounds
That's
like
right.
a good idea.
Early
to me.
4th of July.
There
you
know, go.
All of that.
So, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, part of what the center does is it's definitely very mission-based in terms of the performing arts and quite a wide variety of performances. You guys got a lot of fun things going on this summer. I know you just had Huey Lewis in the news, right?
We did.
God, I love those guys. Yeah.
Huey is 63. I had no idea
wow.
until I got to see him, and he looks all of 35.
And still rocking it out?
Yes.
That's great. what other things you got going on this summer?
This week, headed into the new season, which mm-hmm. will kick off in September, we just announced our subscription renewals. And so we are very thrilled to have Tony Bennett coming back. And he's
cool.
part of our songbook series. I mean, we honor the songbook throughout the year. That same songbook series, we have Tommy Tune going to be with us. Michael Feinstein will perform as well. And it's a quite a season that we're very proud of. And
that's great.
We'd love for everyone to join us.
So that's part of the upcoming, the fall 2014-2015 season and stuff. Other concerts going on this summer? Because you guys never really stay dark for long.
We do. We have a summer show mm-hmm. Series, and we have upcoming in July, we have the OJs.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And then Peter Frampton. So we're going to rock again.
Nice.
And then we also have Willie Nelson, who is an all-time favorite.
And he's got a new album out, and I know he's promoting that, touring that. He was just on NPR the other day talking about that. It sounds like some great music that he's making right now.
right now.
It really is. And the Palladium is 1,600 seats, so it's very intimate. And mm-hmm. it's going to be a rare performance to see Willie up close and personal like that.
And, of course, the sound in the Palladium is awesome.
It is. Absolutely awesome.
Great place to see a concert. You've also got, of course, other spaces as well with other performance groups that are working in those spaces at the Center for the Performing Arts, the Tarkington, the Studio Theater, other things going on up there. Anything you want to mention? Or?
We do. The Civic Theater is one of our resident companies, and they're kicking off their 100th year. So
That's
we're
so cool.
very proud to celebrate their centennial. And Actors Theater of Indiana has an amazing season as well. I'm looking forward to Xanadu, but I'm going to have to wait until May of 15, but that's part of their new season.
Oh, that'll be a hoot. That's
it will be,
cool.
yeah. We saw them a little preview on roller skates, and that will be in the studio theater. I don't think we've ever had roller skating in the studio theater, but I think it's a great idea.
That sounds like a lot of fun. That's very cool. Well, it just a lot of great stuff going on at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel, at the Palladium, and at the other venues, as I mentioned. So for this weekend, I got to ask you, can you tell me who your personal favorite is, who you're most excited to see be performed? Or
well, I'm a little torn here.
Okay.
Johnny Mathis, I grew up on my mother's first concert that she ever mm-hmm. attended as a freshman in college was Johnny Mathis. And so, of course, I'm very excited to meet Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And
that'd be cool.
And then Shirley Jones, of course, Mrs. Partridge. Mm-hmm. And those two are probably high on my list.
That'll be a lot of fun.
It will be very fun.
And, of course, and then seeing, again, Jessica Sanchez from American Idol perform will be pretty awesome.
Yes. We are already getting tweets that she's going to blow the roof off the Palladium. I take them at their word. She is very powerful. Powerful vocalist.
Excellent. Well, John, thank you so much for coming in Art of the Matter. Always great to hear what's going on at the Palladium, and great to see you.
Thank you, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with the Center for the Performing Arts Director of External Relations, John Huey. You can get more information about the Songbook Hall of Fame Gala this weekend, as well as all the other programs the Center is offering, at thecenterpresents.org. Again, thecenterpresents.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
You know what arrives this weekend? Officially?
Oh, it's summer.
It's summer.
It really is summer.
6 something in the morning, Saturday
How
morning.
Exciting that is.
Even before the Art of the Matter.
Longest day of the year.
Longest day of the year.
Yeah.
But we have ways to make you wish you want more daylight on that calendar we call What Do We Do?
Well, here's something to look forward to coming up next week on the TV version of the Art of the Matter on June 24th here on WFYI Television. Since 1998, Nuvo, the local arts, politics, and just about everything else free paper, has recognized Indianapolis innovators with the Cultural Vision Awards. And on the next Art of the Matter TV show on WFYI 1, the 2014 honorees will be profiled. They include 12-Step Yoga, the Central Indiana Beekeepers Association, Freedom Indiana, Genesaret Free Clinics, Musical Family Tree, Indiana's author John Green, and the Lifetime Achievement Award to Judge Sarah Evans Barker. The motto for the awards is Innovation, Inspiration, Celebration, and when you tune in at 7:30 on Tuesday on WFYI 1, you'll see some fascinating local people and organizations that demonstrate that these words are ones that can be put into practice every day of the year. That's on Art of the Matter TV next Tuesday.
Fantastic. Love that. Hey, next weekend on the Art of the Matter, you're going to hear about a Bob Direct's production of the American Tribal Love Rock musical Hair. But you're going to have yet another opportunity to see Hair this summer. It's the summer of Hair. People must be thinking back to 1968 in a grand way in our town, because Summer Stock Stage is presenting Hair. Now, This is coming up Thursday through next Sunday, July 26th through the 29th. But the key difference is that the students in the Summer Stock stage production are all, in fact, just that, students aged 13 to 19 from public, private, and charter schools from urban Indianapolis, suburban Carmel, and rural Thorntown. And just a great opportunity to see the work of these talented kids, plus co-directors Emily Ristine Holloway and Chuck Goad, music director Gene Bowling, and choreographer Cherry Jaffe, all names you maybe recognize from grown-up and professional theater around town. So summerstockstage.com is where you can get a little bit more information. Production of Hair, done by kids, June 26th through the 29th.
Well, we did mention that Saturday is actually the longest day of the year, which is a good thing because there's so much going on Saturday, including PBS Kids in the Park in the White River State Park, also the Idlejorg Museum's Indian Market and Festival, Phoenix Theater has their Brouhaha, and there's a whole bunch of other things going on around town as well. There's no reason not to get out and enjoy some of those fun things going on this weekend.
If you live in South Broad Ripple, you can still make the official opening reception of Mini Impressions by painter Jerry Smith at Gallery 2 at 5912 North College. And you're hearing us Thursday night because that event is this Thursday night, the 19th. However, if you're hearing us Saturday morning or you just don't have time to get to the opening, that's going to be up for a while. And if you haven't had a chance to check out Gallery 2 yet, that is Kurt Churchman's newish enterprise where he shows living painters, mostly in the plein air tradition, but others as well. And again, that's going on at Gallery 2 at 59th and College.
Something to put on your calendar for the end of the month. Gregory Hancock Dance Theater is presenting their version of Joan of Arc. It's a story of faith and vision with the sort of twist that only Gregory Hancock can do. This is taking place on June 27th and 28th, 7 p.m. at the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts in Carmel. And they are going to have a lot of fun with this iconic character, Joan of Arc.
Love it. Hey, the Indian Market and Festival is going on this weekend. That's the Idlejorg's big event.
Huge
event. It's one of the Midwest's largest Indian markets. It features more than 130 native artists, plus food, performances, and family fun. And you can find out more, lots more, at idlejorg.org.
It is. It is a big event.
Indeed.
It's great. Worth checking out. Hey, this is kind of fun. If you've been thinking about checking out the Terracotta Warriors at the Children's Museum and you're someone who does not have kids and would like to go for a grown-up event, well, they're having a Leave the Kids at Home, or don't leave them at all if you don't have them. Terracotta Warriors, the Emperor's Painted Army, grown-ups at the Children's Museum. They're doing some After Dark events. It's a new series for adults 21 and over, and the first one is going to be on Friday, June 27th. They're also doing it on July 18th and August 22nd, and grown-ups can come and enjoy some hors d'oeuvres and check out the exhibit, and there's some beverages available, and it's Terracotta Warriors After Dark. You can get more information at childrensmuseum.org.
Hey, speaking of Friday, June 27th, the Propylaeum is having a wine dinner that night. This is a lovely way to shepherd in the first full week of summer. The theme of the wine dinner is Women Vintners of California. And these are all the wineries featured have women calling the shots, so to speak. That's kind of a mixed bag. That's more a hard liquor expression, but you know what we're saying. It's also an 8-course dinner going with all those lovely wines you get to sample. And again, that's coming up at 7 o'clock on Friday, June 27th at the Propylaeum. More information and reservations, and you do have to have reservations to go to this, at 317-638-7881, 638-7881.
Hey, something going on this weekend, something else going on this weekend, is Indianapolis Symphony is opening the Marsh Symphony on the Prairie season, the 33rd annual season they're doing this. They're opening with Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue on Friday and Saturday. And on Saturday, Uniform Girls and Boys Scouts get in free for Scout Night on the 21st. In addition to Gershwin, there's also going to be some Copland and a bunch of other great American composers that are going to be represented. Performances begin at 8. Gates open at 6 for picnicking. Again, that's ISO Marsh Symphony on the Prairie, opening this weekend.
Speaking of the ISO, if you live or work near downtown, remember the next three Thursdays, the ISO is doing its lunch break concerts.
Oh, right. Their new
doors
series.
Open, yeah, doors open at 11:30. The program's 30 to 40 minutes. The program begins at 12:15. Seats are just $5, and you're encouraged to bring your own lunch. The ISO is working with some food truck vendors to get them to park along Monument Circle so that you can, you know, pick up your lunch. You can take it into the theater. Also, the Cultural Trail is going to make sure that bike racks for Pacers Bike Share are fully stocked so that you can, if you live or work a little further out, you can hop on a bike and get there. So coming up June 26th, July 3rd, and July 10th. Lots of fun at Hilbert Circle Theater.
Cool. Last thing I got, if you are someone who's a poet or interested in poetry, or maybe you live in Lawrence, well, you might want to check out. It's a good combination.
I was not expecting you to go there. Yeah.
Well, maybe you want to check out the Poets Laureate of Lawrence. It's a monthly featured poet open mic series that happens every fourth Tuesday of the month from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Lawrence Arts Center on Indy's East Side on Franklin Road. Get more information at lawrencearts.net. And on June 24th, the featured poet is Mary Sexton. And so they're going to be reading from her work, and there'll be discussions, and then there'll also be open mic as well. Should be a lot of fun.
My last item, think back to your New Year's resolution to hear more chamber music. It's
yes.
6 months later.
Okay.
Have you done it? Well, if the cost of concerts has been an obstacle in your way, know this. The Ensemble Music Society is running this special, special deal. For $50, you can get their full five-concert season, their 2014-2015 season. It's a savings of $95 from the regular season subscription.
Awesome.
Indeed, single concert ticket prices, $30 to $40 per concert. So see, for $50, it's just $10 a concert for you. You can download that form you need to fill out and get that offer by June 30th at Ensemble Music Society's website. Just go to a search engine.
Cool. Well, that's it for now. Next week, we'll be back with more of that calendar we do that we call
What Will We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Indianapolis is home to a number of families of Colombian heritage, so many, in fact, that there's a local nonprofit that arranges events to bring the culture of this fascinating South American country to our city. Sharon Gamble invited Carmen DeRusha, who's from Colombia, and Denise Cardenas, who married into the culture, to talk about a dance concert called Mi Colombia that's coming up next Saturday at the Zionsville Performing Arts Center.
Right. Before we talk about this concert, I want to talk about SADCO. How do
yes.
you pronounce it in English?
SADCO.
SADCO. And tell us about this organization and how it got started and what its goals are.
Sharon, SADCO started 30 years ago.
Wow.
And is a community-based organization, of course, a nonprofit, absolutely run by volunteers. And SADCO means Sociedad de Amigos de Colombia. And in English, it means Society of Friends of Colombia. So most people believe that it's only for Colombians and about Colombia, but it's not. It is about all the people who are interested in Colombia and would like to be friends of Colombia. And it started because, probably everybody remembers us up to this day, Colombia had a very tragic, to say the least. People outside Colombia had the idea that Colombians were drug dealers, that were very, you know, violent country, that nobody could go there. And people living in Indianapolis refused to live with that image of Colombia. And so they wanted to get organized and do something to tell people what real Colombia was about.
Wow. And are there similar organizations in other cities that were explored maybe before this? And I know you weren't there at the very beginning.
Yeah, actually, Yes, there are other Colombian organizations, mm-hmm. and I know this because the Colombian government in the last probably 10 years had made an effort to connect all the Colombian organizations around the country. So we have found, and I even myself went to Houston one time about 10 years ago when I was president of SATCO to join other people and to receive some kind of a leadership training from the Colombian government, which was extremely helpful as we learned that there were other people with very similar interests. And one of the things that maybe I forgot to mention when you asked me about what is the purpose of Colombia and of the SATCO organization. Well, the purpose is, once, of course, to present a real image of what Colombian and Colombian culture is, to organize people that are of Latino heritage and Colombian heritage, and to add our 2 cents to the improvement of the community.
Sure.
So we not only do our mission, probably will have several objectives. One is cultural. The other one is to promote the education and higher education within the Latino community. And we do that through a very extensive scholarship program that we have. And also, of course, building community by organizing so many events, cultural events, social events, where people get together and get to know each other and develop friendships and build networks and, you know, all that.
All that
social
stuff,
capital,
sure.
That we all crave, especially when you are immigrant.
So I know that SATCO is for people who are not necessarily of Colombian origin, but I'm curious about how big is the Colombian immigrant community in Indianapolis?
Hard to tell. If we have a way, there is no way to measure.
Sure.
But I will say that I will adventure to guess that we have at least 3,000 Colombians mm-hmm. in the city.
Denise is nodding.
Hi. Yes.
So how did you get involved with SATCO?
Actually, my husband has been involved for several years in SATCO, and he's the vice president, Juan Cardenas, currently.
That makes you vice president by extension, by the way. You know
right.
that, right?
You get involved.
Yeah.
I am also a dancer. I have a background with a Bachelor of Arts degree in dance from Butler University.
Yay.
Yes. And I'm currently on staff as a choreographer and teacher at Indie Dance Academy. So I have a perspective on the dance world, per se. So if we want to talk about the ballet,
sure.
Kind of seg into that.
Yeah, sure.
This is a group of about 25 dancers who are extremely professional. Some are from Colombia, some are from Brazil and Houston, also Mexico. So their perspective is training in classical ballet, also in jazz and modern dance, which is a nice variety that I think the public, whether you know dance or not, will enjoy the exuberance, the enthusiasm of the dancers, and the costuming, which is very colorful and interesting overall as a, you know, as a performance or a genre.
That's a really wide range of styles you've just mentioned. And with a name like Colombian Folkloric Ballet of Houston, I think people may not know what to expect. They may not know that there are classical and modern underpinnings to that.
Absolutely. The dancers are very well trained. In fact, a lot of the Cuban dancers rival the Kirov Ballet, that their training is as extensive as the Russian dancers, which we know are one of the best,
sure.
obviously, or if not the best as far as classical ballet
sure.
is concerned.
Carmen, I know you grew up in Colombia. Did you go see dance? Did you train in dance? Tell us about the role of dance in your life growing up in Colombia.
Dancing is very much part of the culture. Basically, most of the music that we hear every day is music that you can dance to. And Colombia is a very diverse country because, of course, geographically it's very diverse. So we have 3 main large mountains from the, of course, the Andean mountains, and so that had kind of divided the country and made it so diverse. So we have about very six distinctive regions. And I am from,
really?
Yes, it's absolutely incredible. Even people will say that there are many Colombians, and that is true, you know, not only one country, but many different countries.
Sure.
Because in each one of those regions, people have their own folklore, they have their own food, they have their own expressions. It's very different. The people from the mountains is different than the people from the coast, and the music you hear there is very much different. And that's why this kind of event will bring all of that of Colombian vivacity and variety together. It's going to be an incredibly, really, really fun event because it shows that variety. So I was not, I was a member of the dance troupe in my high school. And so I am familiar with several of the dances and I know how difficult it is. I was never classically trained as a dancer, but I love to dance. I don't know, I think it's part of a lot of people from Latin America. This desire to be moving and dancing, yes.
So what a treat then that the repertoire we get to see will be reflective of different styles and different cultures, subcultures within Colombia.
Oh, yes, that is. And I'm sorry that I cannot put some of that diverse music for the people in your program to hear. But I hope they can come to the event because they are going to hear folkloric tunes that we call bambucos, torbellinos, paseos, cumbias, mapales, and that's five of them, and I will tell you there will be about 12 or 14 different. And those are rhythms that are very much different.
Right, right.
And greatly influenced by our common heritage of African rhythms and Spanish and other European settlers that came, including Italians and Germans also, but mostly Spanish. So a lot of the instruments that are used in all these music that has led to dance, of course, are very much from our Spanish heritage. And the other big influence is our native heritage, of course. So Colombia adds to this, it showcases this diversity through this folklore, the music and the dance.
And some European influence as well.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Very much. So you can see, as Denise was mentioning, the costumes are just so beautiful. And anyone who is from Italy or Germany could see in these customs a lot of their own customs in Europe. We don't think a lot about it, but it's very much reflective. If you go with those eyes and you have a more kind of universal look at what you are seeing, you can see a lot of these European influence in our costumes and, of course, the music and, of course, the dances.
The world really has been small for a long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. What happens is we've been looking in the wrong places.
That's right. Denise, as a dancer, do you watch a concert differently than, well, this is probably hard to for you to answer since you've never not been a dancer, I assume. But
correct.
As a dancer, what tell us what kind of mindset you go into a concert like this with. What is there something in particular you'll be looking for or looking at?
Well,
give us a frame of reference.
Sure. I would probably, being classically trained, would look at the technique, which I think is going to be excellent. Not only that, though, I would look at the overall picture. I would look at the costuming, the interaction between the dancers, how they react and interact with one another, and the audience also. A lot of times you want to be drawn in, if you are a member of the total audience, to the picture or the scene, the actual choreography, what's happening. You feel like you might be able to get up and dance yourself, you know, if you're moved in that sense with the music and the overall genre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are some references, according to this company, some of the touchstones that they use to set these pieces, these dance pieces, are the many carnivals and festivals that happen in Colombia. Got a couple favorites that you'll be looking for, Carmen?
Oh, it's incredible. People that will want to explore Colombia one day, they can find that we have almost one festival per day of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine that. Everywhere there is a festival. It's incredible. But every region has a festival, and every town has a festival. And it's really a big party most of the times.
That's a lot of celebrating.
It is a lot of celebrating. And so there is a big carnival going on in Barranquilla, Colombia, which is very popular. There is another carnival called the Carnival of Blacks and Whites, or Blancos y Negros, which is in the south part of the country, which is called Pasto, from the state of Nariño, very much close to Ecuador and Peru. We have another festival that is called Festival of Bambuco, which is the festival of this specific dance that is called Bambuco. Festival de San Paul and San Peter, San Pedro y San Pablo, and it is mostly about a kind of the main dance there is called San Juanero, which is unbelievable. You hear a San Juanero and you want to get up and dance. It's very hard to hear that and not feeling that it's time to get up and dance. So it is amazing.
Hey, we should warn our listeners that if you go to this, the Zionsville Performing Arts Center has installed seat belts, and they will make sure you're using them.
No. Bring comfortable shoes because you must dance here.
Sharon Gamble with Carmen DeRusha and Denise Cardenas. You can see Meet Colombia, danced by the Colombian Folkloric Ballet of Houston, next Saturday, June 28th at 2:30 or 7:30 at the Zionsville Performing Arts Center. For tickets, visit zvilleperformingarts.org. That's Z-V-I-L-L-E, performingarts.org, or call 317-733-4833.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll get a preview of the Bob Directs production of Hair.
I'll talk with author John David Anderson about his new young adult book.
And I'll find out about the Museum of Bad Art exhibition at Garfield Park. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call What'll We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.